Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick on the air, just polished an entire bag of Twizzlers within about 10 minutes.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
it was a little nauseating.
Okay, I'm not going to say there's nothing technically wrong with it.
I do. I don't like
licorice. I mean, you're burying your salad just because you're healthier than I am.
And is that real lettuce? We don't know. See, like, you see how I threw it at him, Willie? You don't even know that, if that's real lettuce.
My Twizzlers were real Twizzlers.
Exactly.
I know that.
Absolutely.
You know what they say? You don't win friends with salad. But it's a good thing you guys are already my friends. I'm just not a licorice fan.
Licorice are like mindless snacks. You can just eat them. They're not technically good for you. But like Willie said, they're not the worst thing. And they have a slight taste to it, but not nothing that's overwhelming. So you can just sit and eat them, watching the game or doing what Willie was doing, looking at the computer, and you don't even think about it. Yeah. And you've downed a whole pack, a pound's worth.
Oh, yeah. I can put away some Twizzlers.
That right there is not good for you.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
How many Twizzlers did you eat when you got here until now?
Well, it was a package, not the jumbo pack, but it was designed for one sitting, and I finished them in one sitting.
Well.
I grabbed them out of the convenience store there and treated myself, and I put them away. I would say there's probably a dozen in there.
Well, we'll see how you feel over the course of the program. You might feel a bit queasy.
Speaking of
queasy, that's how a lot of Tennessee Titans fans feel. After reading reports from Titans-Falcons joint practice in Atlanta, or more specifically, Flowery Branch, Georgia, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us in roughly 20 minutes. He was there. So we will get his feedback on what he saw at practice. But here is one tweet from Teron Davenport just to give you a preview of our conversation. Quote, overall takeaway from the first hashtag Titans practice today. Not good. They seemed sluggish to start offensively. A lot of balls on the ground. Struggled to run the ball in team period early too. Meanwhile, Michael Penix and the Falcons cut up the Titans secondary. It's one practice, so no need to panic, but it wasn't good today. And we will get more information from Teron Davenport. And again, roughly 20 minutes. He is live in Atlanta from Nick Suss of the Tennessean, who was also in Georgia for the joint practices. Here is what he wrote about Cam Ward today. Quote, between 7-on-7 drills and 11-on-11 team periods, Cam Ward threw 29 passes. He completed 14 of them, 48.2%, with a few balls broken up and two intercepted. One of his interceptions came on a ball he telegraphed over the middle that veered directly into the chest of cornerback Mike Ford Jr. The other came on Ward's final throw of the day in a move it period where the Titans dropped back on a third and short and Ward tried to fit a ball to receiver Alec Iomanner on a tight slant and the ball was popped into the air by cornerback A.J. Terrell Jr. and intercepted after a long midair flutter by safety Jesse Bates III. Excellent, excellent imagery by Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Ward's day wasn't all mistakes. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of nice sideline throws and contested windows to receivers Bryce Oliver and Calvin Ridley, and he looked the most at ease on the plays where he had to buy time for himself by rolling out and keeping his eyes downfield. His connection with Ridley still seems strong, and he had a good day throwing to DK, rookie Chim DK as well. But none of Ward's pocket-bound completions went for big gains, and very few of his incompletions were targeted deep. Fitting the theme of the day, he wasn't so much making mistakes as he was failing to put together highlights. So that was Nick Suss on Cam Ward. So Cam Ward, not a great day. Overall takeaway from Teron Davenport, not good for the Tennessee Titans. And here's my question for the two of you and all of you at 615-737-1025. Why are we surprised? The Titans are a bad football team. They have been a bad football team for the past 2.5 seasons. How many games have they won since defeating the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field? I want to say 9 in 2.5 seasons. They're a bad football team. Bad football teams don't become good football teams overnight. So I seem to sense a lot of hand-wringing and collar-tugging from Titans fans reading these not so sterling reports from practice, but I don't think we should be surprised by this.
I don't think anybody's really surprised. I sort of compare it to like having a kid and you love that kid and everything else, but it's like you know there's going to be something that goes wrong. And you hope that it doesn't, but you know that it does. And you want to have that optimism about a grade or something, but you know, hey, maybe they are not at that level. Or you can equate it to sports. That's probably a better analogy. Sports, and you just know your kid is not good enough. And I think that's how the Titan fans look at Tennessee. They want to believe because of Cam Ward. They want to believe because of Jeffrey Simmons. They want to believe because, you know, the offensive line looked good the other day and Cam looked good in practice, I mean, and during the game. They want to believe this is a better team. But when things like this happen, I think they're quickly reminded that maybe this team isn't as good as we thought they were. But when you see those glimpses, it's like they can do it, like your kids, like they can play. But then at the end, you figure out maybe my kid isn't built for this sport. And Titan fans are maybe, you know, they're realizing, I think they've realized it the whole time, this roster just isn't as good to have, like, consistent days, even though that's what we believe they should have. But they are, it's hard for them to put together good days consecutively, especially the offense, because they just don't have the talent from top to bottom to go out there and do it. It's not like they're not trying. It's just that the roster isn't good at this point, and it's going to take some time for this roster to become a consistent roster. And right now, they're just not there.
I don't want to trace everything back to three drafts, but I go back to the empty drafts of 2020, 2021, and 2022. You can't go back and change those drafts. They have nothing from those three. It makes that extremely difficult to be able to compete. Their mean projection across the league is about 6.5 wins, right? The over-under in any Vegas odds, 6.5 wins in a 17-game season. So you have to expect that there are going to be struggles. They are where they are. It's not going to be magic that fixes them, which is why I think they need to look at some drastic measures like trading Jeffrey Simmons, if you can get the type of draft capital that you hope you could get from a guy like that, whether it's now or at the trade deadline or even at the end of this season. But this is a full-on rebuild. Welcome to rebuild in the NFL. And no, you don't get a lot of time to do it. You need to show progress. And I hope at the end of the year there's a good feeling, but it has to be measured. I don't think you should expect dominance in any form or fashion.
Andrew on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Adam, with all due respect, I think you're missing the point. How dare you, Andrew? Just kidding. A lot of us fans are not necessarily concerned about the caliber of players we have. We know we're bad. It's the fact that there seems to be a collectively low amount of effort in multiple practices, which is a glaring indictment on Brian Callahan. That's the issue. Now,
where are we coming from that, though? Did he watch the practice?
Yeah, it's not like a
Can we hold that thought?
Okay.
Because there is a clip from Jeffrey Simmons today at practice where he addresses the sluggish starts to the joint practices with the Bucs, or really just one joint practice with the Bucs, and the first of these joint practices with the Falcons. Here is what Jeffrey Simmons had to say after practice.
Let's talk about a slow start, and I guess you guys had that last week. Is there something that you, as one of the leaders, can you do something to make, like, not have a slow start like today?
TD, I think everybody just got to come out with a mindset. And I said it this morning, like, you know, we could come out and hoorah, we could come out and yell, this and that. We grown men. It's a professional football. God's got to come out ready. We know, man. We knew they was going to come out prepared and ready to practice. Men's practice. In the game, we started out slow. We saw it last season, down 28-0. So at the end of the day, you know, we keep saying we starting slow. We started slow in Tampa. Started slow in Atlanta. Like, it's time to start fast. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot of things that we keep saying this year, which I keep hating to go back to last year. we kept saying the same thing last year. So I think at the end of the day, I mean, we've been saying it forever. And it's one thing we kept saying last year. Say, let's do more. Come out here and do it.
But my issue is that sluggish and slow starting does not mean you're not trying. Like, mm-hmm. lack of effort, you're telling me that these guys don't care. These are guys battling to stay in the National Football League. So let's put that out of our mind. That is not a thing. Are they not good? Can you get off to a sluggish start? Yeah, that happens a lot. But that doesn't mean you're not trying.
Okay. I think Jeff, I think he's saying all the right things. You don't want to come out sluggish or slow start, whatever, however you want to frame it or whatever you want to call it. But I think now, I think it's gotten to a point where I think they feel they need to say something because they've been talked about for so long because nobody said anything, nobody called anyone out, nobody held anyone accountable. So now it's like we got to go the total opposite. We got to say every time we feel something isn't right, and I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about the players, then we need to say if they write about, you know, the practice was sluggish, then the player feel he has to come out, whichever player it is, typically is one of the leaders. Yeah, we need to do this. We need to do that. Listen, what I would tell Jeffrey this, keep doing what you're doing because they're going to need it when the season comes because it's a long, grueling season. But I want to remind him, Cam Ward's new, Tyler Lockett's new, Van Jefferson's new, Dan Moore's new, Lloyd Cushenberry is just coming back. He was hurt. Kevin Zeitlin's new. J.C. Latham is moving to the other side. Tavondre Sweat is going into his second year. Cody Barton is new. Let me see. Legarius Sneed isn't out there. There's some other guys I can throw in there that are all new. So when you have a bunch of new players, and again, I know he would never, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, but I want players to understand, when you are a leader, this is what I loved about Ray and Ed and Eddie and Steve. They knew situations we were in. So they didn't go out and make it worse by saying, we're not doing this or we're not doing that. We understand we're not doing it. We know we got to get it done. But those leaders approached it because they knew the situation that we were in. I guarantee you if a Ray or an Eddie or Steve or an Ed or even Derrick Henry was on this team now, they wouldn't say stuff because they understand what's going on. You got a bunch of new players trying to get used to one another, all trying to learn a new system. Eventually, they're going to have to get it right now. They're going to have to get it right. If not, it's going to be a very bad team. But you got to understand the process first. That's what I would tell Jeffrey Simmons. Understand the, and I'm sure he understands it. But that's when that leadership kicks in. You always don't have to say something because you understand what's going on. So don't be forced that you, don't let us force you to say something as a leader that you probably shouldn't have to say.
But as you know full well, Derek, when things like this happen, when the quote-unquote leader of the Tennessee Titans, because we've argued about Jeffrey Simmons' leadership qualities, but he is the best player on the team. He is, in the eyes of many in that building, the leader of the team at this moment. So when you hear the leader of the team say what he just said in that clip, Titans fans are looking for someone to blame for that. Is it coaching that they are having sluggish starts in practice? Is it the talent level? Is it leadership? Is it all of the above? I think people are looking, we all know this, people are looking for someone to blame for this. Andrew, who sent in the original note, texted back in and said, Willie isn't getting it. The players are literally telling us, Simmons and Brownlee, that we are sluggish and having bad practices. This is an effort issue. I'll agree to disagree with you all, and of course I'm not at the practices. But when the players are telling us practices are bad, accepting that it's not an effort issue and simply just chalking it up to being bad is a cop-out.
Listen, if you can give all the effort in the world. If you are a bad team, you are a bad team, okay? That's just the way it is. It's not making an excuse. It's just this is who you are. And this team, I could have predicted that they were going to have a bad practice for really one reason, is that they were the team traveling. They just left one state to go to another, albeit it wasn't that far. But they've been on the road for the last couple of days. And then they have to go out there, whereas Atlanta's sitting there, they're nice and cozy. And people can say what they want to say. Oh, you know, the guys, they're pampered. You're absolutely right. They're sleeping in nice beds. But I guarantee you that if I'm at home and Atlanta has to travel to me, that's a different story. You know, I just want, when I explain things, I just want people to get the inside view of what others don't have or never had. So when I'm giving it to you, it's not an excuse. It's just what goes on, the inner workings. That's the good part about having three different individuals on the station. We all can give you different point of views, and I can give you the inner workings of why things. Do they need to get better? You damn right they do. But I'm giving you the inner workings that Coach Callahan will not tell you, and that the players will not tell you. Why? Because you don't want to hear it. Because to you and to me, it's just another excuse.
Well, I also agree with you, Derek. Brian Callahan did slip into his Sunday Zoom call that they arrived in Georgia at 4 a.m. And they chose to do it this way, right? This was part of their thing is we're going to get away from Nashville. We're going to bond as a team on the road. It's an old adage that has worked, but it may or may not have worked here. I didn't hear any of their guys use that as an excuse, but I think what you're saying is could be legitimate. I also think, again, philosophically, to take issue with the texter, that you can be sluggish but still be giving your best effort. That's two different things in my mind. There are the best teams in the world that come out for a game sluggish. Now, can you look at the Titans the last several years? And I think this is what Jeffrey Simmons is referring to. They have not been always the best team getting out of the gate, but these are marks of a team that is thin on talent. Last year, if anything, they got off to good starts. They had a lot of leads at halftime, in the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter. So it wasn't always they got off to bad starts. So I'm not sure where he's coming from there. I agree with you, D-Mace. That may not have been the day to do it, but he's just trying to light a fire under the guys. He wants to make sure that the team is better tomorrow. But this is when we're hyper-analyzing everything. We're looking for stuff. And when you say looking for someone to blame, Adam, it is going to fall on the coach, unfortunately. But this is where I think I would like to see some measurement from the front office when they evaluate the coaching staff, evaluate the level of talent. I really think it's as low as any team in the NFL depth-wise. It's as low as any team. It's in the bottom five conservatively.
I can probably almost guarantee you that Callahan, what you're saying, he did this on purpose and for this reason, because it sets up a sense of adversity. Because it's like, you're tired. Yeah, we had to travel, but let's see how you react. Let's see if you've gotten to that point where we are making strides where we can throw you, we can put you back on the field. Not necessarily putting you at harm, your body at harm, but putting you back on the field when you're a little tired. We didn't have, you know, we got in late and we had to hit the practice field the next morning. Let's see how, you know, you adapt, because we may have to go out west in the time difference, because of the time difference. We got to learn how to get our bodies back going. And I'm sure that was one of the reasons why he chose to do that. And listen, this team didn't respond to, you know, what the adversity that he put in front of them. I'd rather find it out now than to find it out later. So now I can adjust as a head coach and move forward. You just hope that your team learns from this setup as an adversity with this team. And Jeffrey, keep saying what you're saying. I'm not trying to say Jeff doesn't need to be a leader. He needs to keep holding guys accountable. But I think also, too, what I've learned from other leaders is that you really got to know the situation that your team is in and how your personnel look and who's new and who's not. as you start making those comments.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By all reports, the Titans had a rough day in joint practice with the Atlanta Falcons. The Titans will give it another go tomorrow. Hopefully, they will have a better performance. But Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, was live in Georgia for the practice today. We will get his firsthand evaluation of the Titans, and we will do that next. 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN 94.9, The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. First pitch is at 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, The Fan, is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is live in Atlanta. He is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Hello, Teron. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. I'm trying to keep myself from throwing a delay of game flag on you guys, man. What's going on?
Sorry about that. Sometimes we just get worked up and we talk a little bit too much, but that is the magic of live radio. But you're here with us now, so we are happy
about
that.
That's right.
So, Teron, in the first segment, we played a clip from Jeffrey Simmons based on your question after practice about the sluggish starts that the Titans have had in joint practices with Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Jeffrey Simmons was not the only player to mention that, of course. Simmons also mentioned that the slow starts doomed the Titans last season. So when you hear players complain about that sort of thing, we're all looking for somebody to blame, right? So who is most responsible? Is it coaching? Is it talent? Is it leadership? Is it some combination? What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think each guy has to look within themselves. And one of the things I like that Jeff said is, like, it's professional football. You don't need to all the rah-rah and all that stuff. And, you know, Cameron Ward has said that before, too. If I have to motivate you at this level, you're probably not in the right business. So really it's just a inner, hey, what can I do to motivate myself and make sure that I'm ready to play? And I think that's just what has to happen, self-reflection on each individual part.
So, Teron, in your lengthy notes on X from practice, you mentioned Cam Ward was intercepted twice. And I believe on the first one, you wrote, quote, Ward got picked off, didn't see the defender lurking in zone, end quote. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is something that you have noticed over the course of training camp practices when it comes to Cam Ward. What are you seeing from Ward on those throws that might be throwing him off?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in this case, he just kind of, he didn't see that defender lurking there. And sometimes, you know, things just go fast. But then it's also like, okay, how many of these are throws that he admittedly is feeling out and trying to see what he could get away with? So it's a combination of the two. The two interceptions, I mean, the second one, you know what? He put the ball in a spot. Alec Iremanner ran a slant. He put it in the spot. A.J. Terrell, and this is something that Calvin Ridley said after practice, you know, like, that other team is good too. And those guys make plays, and everybody expects football to be perfect and every pass to be completed. It's not going to. And again, like, I'm not excusing, I'm just explaining, and in this case, paraphrasing what Ridley said. So that second interception, it got punched in the air. A.J. Terrell is a really good corner, and Jesse Bates is a safety that just has a magnet for the football. He corralled the tip pass that flew up in the air, and it was a pick. And, you know, these things happen. I'm not saying to panic. I'm not saying to overreact to touchdowns that he throws either. I think it's just, you just got to take it in stride and understand that there are ebbs and flows in practice, especially with a rookie quarterback.
Now, TD, the one position that we have been talking about, but in a good way, especially after the first preseason game, is the offensive line. And it seems like the offensive line, once again, seems to be trending upward, which is a good thing considering what we've seen over the last two and a half seasons. How did they look today? Were they a part of the sluggishness?
Not necessarily. I think they held up well. There weren't a lot of pressures. They ran right at James Pierce a couple times and moved him up out of the paint. So that's something to kind of hang your hat on. Ward, for the most part, had time. There were a couple covered sacks, There was one actually, and that's where Brandon Allen, somehow he got cut, had to go in for stitches. So I think overall the line did well. They were run blitzing, right? There's a guy named Josh Woods, a linebacker, number 42 on the Falcons. I can't wait to watch him on Friday because this dude has really showed himself to be a player today in what I saw. So, I mean, look, they did a good job overall. I think the O-line is something that this team is going to actually be able to hang their hat on and feel that, you know, they always have a shot going in because of them.
Now, should we be alarmed about this secondary? Because they got carved up in the first game pretty much. There was some plays made by Brownlee Jr., but it seemed like, you know, Tampa was able to get some things through there. And based on what I'm hearing today, it wasn't any different, that the Atlanta Falcons and an offense pretty much had their way with the secondary. So is this something that we need to truly be concerned about?
Yes. I think there should be concern about the secondary, and it's about time it gets addressed, right? Because you look at Daryl Baker Jr. last year, I thought he was a pretty good player, and I still think he's a good player. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is what he is. But it's just after those guys and Roger McCreary, I think that's where you have some questions. And, you know, for me, I look at a guy like a Quincy Riley out of Louisville. He went to MTSU for a moment, too, and it's just like, that's somebody that should be on this roster. He passed him after Jair Alexander. He's already got two picks down there in New Orleans. I think he should have been a draft pick. And they had him in the building. So you have that. It's tough sledding. But then also you look at the way they set things up. Zach Robinson, the OC from the Falcons, I thought his play design was really good. So we know Bijan Robinson is always going to attract the attention of linebackers, right? So they would take Drake London and have him on a close split, and they'll either line up Robinson outside of him or they'll motion him outside of him. And what happens? Cody Barton is taken out of the play. Who is their best hook zone defender? Cody Barton. So what would they do? Bijan will run a route. Barton will go with Bijan Robinson, and London will run an in-breaking route, and you got a 6'5 guy able to get positioning, and Penix, you know, could put it on the money, and that's how they were making a lot of their plays today. Now, granted, Amani Hooker, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it seemed like he was late getting over on a post that Penix threw to Casey Washington for a really long touchdown. So, I mean, look, they got to get it together. This team doesn't have a pass rusher up front that could help them and speed things up. So it's not going to look too good for this secondary if it remains the way this is.
Tron Davenport is with us. We're talking about the Titans here during their camp there in Atlanta as they practice against the Falcons. So, Teron, just based on Brian Callahan's tone and the words he used when he was asked about L'Jarius Sneed, he didn't sound too optimistic about a timetable or getting him back anytime soon. What is your read on Sneed? Because based on what you just said about the secondary, they obviously could use him, but I'm starting to be concerned myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think there should be some concern. I'd be surprised if he's here, you know, after this year, because, you know, next year they could cut ties, and I think it's only like $8 million. But, I mean, look, I watched him come out today. He grabbed his cleats, and he worked inside. I have no clue when he's going to be back. I mean, it's two injuries, right? Like, you got the – well, I don't know. I would say the cleanup is more like hurt, where he, I would imagine, would be able to play on that, but I don't know. You know, he's still on PUP. There's no time. Like, the head coach doesn't know. I for sure don't.
So when you factor that in, they are the number one team on the waiver wire. Do you think it's reasonable that there will be a corner brought in using that position that they have at some point?
I would expect it to be the case. Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's all depends on, you know, who comes available, but you know, I think, like, after roster cutdown, I mean, there's usually some guys that are pretty solid that come open, and I could see it. I mean, look at Daryl Baker last year, so I could see that being the case.
So, Teron, you mentioned Penix, right? This is an interesting track, right? They decided to wait. It was a pretty outside-the-box thinking by the Falcons to bring in Cousins and then draft Penix. But here's Penix looking good at the end of last year. He's now the starter this year. How did he look to you, and what are you hearing about what they did right with his development process?
Yeah, I think it just pretty much is one of those things where you got an established veteran and you want to put your guy in an incubator, so to speak, and let him come along. Penix played a lot of football in college, so that's not to say he wasn't ready. It's just they had a $100 million quarterback in front of him that they, you know, went ahead and rolled with. But then it got to a point where he wasn't himself. So it's not like, you know, they just suddenly put him, Penix, out there. Kirk Cousins never truly recovered from that Achilles, and he was already not the most mobile guy anyway. So there were a lot of issues involved in that, and I think they've done it the right way. Penix looked solid today. I mean, there were some things that they were able to do to confuse him and make him pat the ball and you know, run or throw it away. So I think overall he's going to be a solid quarterback for them.
Do you think Trevor Siemian will push Brandon Allen for the backup job eventually?
I think so, man. He actually came out today and impressed me, right? Brandon Allen went out. He came right in. He hit like four straight, man. And, you know, a couple of them were high percentage throws, but just to be able to get out there and get on that streak after, you know, in your first practice, your first reps, I thought was good. Siemian looked solid to me.
Teron, before we let you go, speaking of the secondary, can you provide some clarity on Kevin Winston Jr.? He hasn't been practicing lately. We know he's coming back from ACL surgery, but what is the plan for him over the next couple of weeks and the big picture approach for him as the regular season nears?
Yeah, so it's more of a management thing. They want to make sure that they don't have him out there too early. It's like weighing risk versus reward. To them, the reward right now to have him out there, it doesn't outweigh the risk of him, you know, re-injuring or having something tweaked or anything like that. Remember, I mean, look, ACL, even though guys come back from it so quickly, it's still a major surgery. And so you're going to have some post-surgery soreness, 5 padded practices in 6 days. You know, it was a lot for him. And I think the young man, he wanted to push it and see what he could do, and the team allowed him to do so. And now it's time to reel it back in a little bit. Big picture is to have him at some point during the season, not at some point, to have him ready for the season as opposed to, you know, rolling him out there and having him risk an injury. And I think when you look at it, they want him to get those mental reps and go about it that way. And he's here. I talked to him a bit before practice. He said he feels good. And that's pretty much what it is. But, I mean, look, like you're going to – don't be surprised if at some point like he emerges as a starter, you know, in his defense this year. And if he's not a starter, he's going to get a high percentage of reps also.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us live from Atlanta. Teron is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron, great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy Atlanta. We'll talk next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
You as well. Teron Davenport on the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. 615-737-1025. We will all react, you can as well, to what Teron Davenport had to say about Titans practice today against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll do that next at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun. Live tattoos. What's a live tattoo? Live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art game, and, of course, ice cold beer. Get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Always a pleasure to be joined by Teron Davenport to get his firsthand evaluation of the Tennessee Titans from their joint practice in Atlanta. They'll be back at it again tomorrow against the Falcons. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Gorilla is on the line. Gorilla, who is public enemy number one in Huntsville, Alabama. Gorilla, thank you for calling, my friend. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I got all that straight with my boys down in Huntsville. I'm well known in that area right there.
They I heard you couldn't ride through Huntsville.
Like, it could have been fun.
Now you can't drive through Hopkinsville, however. Hopkinsville is another story.
Okay, well, they can have whatever they want. We can have a Hopkinsville. Yeah, we'll bottle Clarksville in that if they want some too. Bowling Green, all that. We can handle that. Yeah, I don't want to see Huntsville and Birmingham. But check this out, man. This is something that is just concerning me. You know, early word out of our camp is that Cam has a real strong connection with Calvin Ridley. And we're watching that pay dividends. But for some reason, he's not on the same page with the other receivers. But so it leads me to ask this question here. If you know he has it going with Calvin Ridley and he has a built-in connection with Restrepo, why don't we just take a step off the curves, man, and just try to work Restrepo in there as a slot receiver? I mean, I'm kind of just, you know, I'm frustrated about that because we're not getting anything going with any other receiver but Calvin Ridley. And you know what's going to happen, D-Mace. You guys know what's going to happen, Adam. On game day, they're going to do everything to shut down and take Calvin Ridley out of the mix.
No, you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Gorilla.
Thank you, Gorilla, for the call. You're absolutely right about that and how you're seeing it. They're hoping one of these young guys, can get up to speed in this offense because they're going to need him. Listen, he's going to defer to Calvin Ridley no matter what because he trusts Calvin Ridley. There may be some out there that don't look at Calvin Ridley and think he's a number one wide receiver, but Cam Ward does. He thinks and believes he's the number one wide receiver. So that's his belief. He's going to go out there and he's going to make sure that Calvin Ridley is a part of the game throughout the game. That didn't happen last year with the quarterback. Now, you're right. He's going to have to find that second and third guy. But I don't think, just because he locks in or just because he wants to throw to Calvin Ridley, it's going to hamper him in any way. You're right. He's going to have to find that second or third guy. But it's not him that finds it. It's that guy getting open. Once those guys get open enough and they start catching the football enough, then he will gain trust in those guys as he has already gained trust in Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's no different from any other number one receiver. We always say you got to take out the number one receiver because you know he's getting the ball. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. They look at Calvin Ridley, however you may look at him, he's their number one option in the passing game. And he started to prove that last year once he finally connected with the quarterback. It's good that he's got that connection with Cam Ward now. Those other guys need to find their place in this offense, and they need to find it quick because the faster they find it, the better this offense is going to be.
Do you like the receiving core better this year than last year?
Oh,
because what I would say is from an individual name recognition, accomplishments, last year's was better. This year, I see a little bit better role definition on paper, but I'm not sure they're as talented. So I'm not, and then there's the X factor of these young guys that are going to have to play somewhere in there. So what do you think? Because that's an important question with a rookie quarterback in there.
Yeah, it is. I think they have more experience last year. Not necessarily because, listen,
DeAndre Hopkins in there, that's a ton of experience.
Right yeah,
there.
They had Tyler Boyd. Think what you want about Nick Westbrook and Ikhine. He was a good player in this offense. It would be nice to have him in this offense right now in place of and I'm only saying this because Nick Westbrook-Ikhine knew the offense, in place of Tyler Lockett or maybe even a Van Jefferson. And I'm only saying that because Nick knew this offense, okay? And he would be another experienced guy. Is he a number one or two? No. but he works well as the number three. So having a guy in the offense like that worked, it's good. They don't have that guy because they don't have the guy that has experience in this offense with this quarterback. They only got a number one guy. They're trying to look for those other guys. So to answer your question, I think from an experience standpoint in this offense, I think the guys last year were a tad bit better. But that doesn't say that this crop of receivers can't pick it up. They still have time to pick it up.
I think it is obvious that other teams are not going to look at the names on that list and say, boy, we've got to stop this guy, this guy. They're going to be saying, we can handle these guys. We can cover these guys. So it's going to have to be an overachieving unit, I think. And I would even throw the tight ends in there. They're going to have to be more than the sum of the parts because they're not going to scare anybody.
Let's go to Bubba from Bell Mead on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bubba, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen, I really appreciate you guys taking this time slot. I mean, it's been a joy to listen to you the last few days, and I just want to continue DVD, and it's a pleasure. But I'm a little confused because I agree with what Derek said earlier and what Willie said. I'm trying to determine, you know, the difference between sluggish and you know, just effort. And, you know, to me, it's kind of drawing the lines together. But, you know, can you guys define what sluggish is? I mean, let me address this to Derek, because, I mean, he's been there. He's done this. So, you know, not that him was that he was sluggish, but he may have seen others. But just the other thing that bothers me is, yeah, they're on a road trip. They finished up. You know, they're in Atlanta. The heat index in Atlanta was like 105. So I'm just trying to determine all this. Mm-hmm. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Bubba. Thank you, Bubba.
The check is in the mail, Bubba.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Bubba. The difference to me between sluggish and effort is this. You may be tired. You may be banged up, and you may in your mind want to give the effort, and you go out intending to give that effort, but your body just isn't cooking. It's not, no matter what you do, for some reason, your body is just not cooperating with you. To me, that's sluggish, that my mindset is to go fast, and it may seem like to me it's going, but when you turn on the film, it's like, no, man, my body just wasn't, I wanted to, my... Being, what was the other one? Being
lack of effort.
Lack of effort. That's different. That's coming out and just don't care. No matter how you feel, you just are not going to run to the ball, or you just don't feel like practicing today, or you just don't feel like covering that zone today, or you feel like, hey, let's brother-in-law it. That's what we used to call it back in the day, brother-in-law.
Explain where that.
Brother-in-law is, you take care of me, I take care of you.
Right.
We ain't going
Neither
hard.
Neither one of us are
yeah,
trying.
We ain't going to go
let's,
hard. So
let's
it don't
not
look,
make each other
so
look bad.
Yeah, exactly. So it don't look good on
I've
film.
I've never heard that
So
before.
It don't look bad on film. Yes, brother-in-law. Usually it happens like on a...
In a walkthrough.
Yeah, walkthrough or something.
A shoot-around. I would say that would be an area that would happen.
Exactly.
A game day shoot-around.
Exactly. So... To me, that's what lack of effort is. You know, your body, knowing you can do it, but just choose mentally not to do it. The sluggish is wanting to do it mentally, believing you can do it, but your body is just not giving what you want it to give. It's like trying to, you know, stretch out, you know, 10 miles and you only got 7 miles worth of gas left. It's like, yeah, you could try to push it no matter what, but you ain't going to get there. You're just not. So there you go. So that's the difference, Bubba.
615-737-1025. A lot of this conversation centers around the culture of the Tennessee Titans. And The Athletic has a story that was published, I believe, yesterday, which details how the Kansas City Chiefs transformed their franchise independent of Patrick Mahomes. How can the Titans follow that blueprint? We discuss that next. 615-737-1025. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org.